Let's talk landlords, let's talk about tenants, and let's talk with Chris Seepy. He's a former real estate broker and the CEO of Aztec Realty. Chris, thanks for taking some time for us today.
Oh, you're quite welcome, Mike. Thanks for
inviting
me.
Chris, we're going to mention Open Room at some point, which is a website that can certainly be helpful, but why don't we just take some temperature, because you are certainly involved quite a bit in landlord-tenant relations, because you are a landlord.
That's right. But I was also a tenant for, 20, 25 years as well. So I've been on both sides of the fence.
Well, then that is a great thing to have on a Friday afternoon when we want to see how things are going. When you look at relations right now, what do you see as being a key to good relations between landlords and tenants?
Oh, geez. Good relations. I guess open communications, responding quickly, listening rather than presuming. If you're talking about good relations with good tenants, unfortunately, you also get tenants that can be quite aggressive and mean-spirited. And that's a whole different set of criteria.
And when we're talking about, and maybe we can break this down in that way, when we're talking about landlords and tenants, a lot of times we have landlords painted a certain way, and we've tried to be very careful on this show to say, look, there's a lot of good landlords out there. So I know we get talking about rent evictions and things every once in a while, but let's remember not to use the broad brush. But you mentioned that you can have difficult tenants. Are they tenants that will refuse to pay rent, things like that?
Refuse sometimes. Sometimes it's a question of them taking opportunity to take advantage of a situation. I was just called today on one where a fellow wants to sell the property, but he's required by law to maintain the existing tenure of the tenant, which means that if he sells the property, the person who buys the property has to take that tenant, and that person doesn't want that tenant, and the tenant is saying, well, if you want to get rid of me, you have to pay me $20,000. And because it takes anywhere from 6 months to a year to be evicted, as soon as you start the eviction process, the tenant says, well, I'm not paying you anymore. So you get a double whammy in an extreme case like that.
Right. We're talking with Chris Seepy right now. And Chris is a former real estate broker. He's the CEO of Aztec Realty. So if we're to look at rent evictions, which come up an awful lot, is this, at least the topic comes up an awful lot, is this something that gets talked about a lot among landlords, the fact that this has become the story that it has?
Yes, very much so.
And what sorts of things, what sorts of topics within that come up?
Well, I think there is a general misunderstanding or a lack of being informed amongst landlords that because I own the property, I can do whatever I please with that property. And if the tenant doesn't pay, I can get rid of them, or I can lock them out, or I can, turn off the electricity and the water and force them out. All of those things are not true. We have very strong, arguably some of the strongest tenant protection legislation in the world, not just in Ontario or in Canada. So when they discover that they can't do any of those things, there used to be legislation that was far more liberal, I suppose, and tenants would say, far more landlord biased. But that legislation allowed for a variety of different ways to recover your property. And nowadays, there's almost nothing that allows you to recover that property. And when you combine that with rent controls, landlords say, well, my insurance went up 35% this year. A property tax went up 5%. Toronto's talking about 10%. The electricity goes up 10% every year for the last 2 decades, despite the hiatus we had for 4 years under the Wynne government. And the rent doesn't go up. In fact, the provincial government this past, 4 or 5 months ago, published an article or a news release saying that we're proud to be able to announce that if we had gone by the letter of the law that talks about the CPI, Consumer Price Index, we would have had to raise the rent by 5.9%, but we're happy to tell you that we only raised it by 2.5%. So that wiped out not only the income that might have offset these expenses, but also, by my calculation, wiped out about $6 billion in property value, number one, which means the property taxes that were being collected on that money dropped. And because that dropped, we're now looking at cities, municipalities everywhere wanting to raise the property taxes because the property values dropped. So it's a very complex ecosystem, if you will, between landlords, tenants, real estate, government, legislation, and so on.
And, I mean, we've always had all of these players, but, Chris, is there a future where you see more, I don't know if it's cooperation, but just more of each side knowing what is going on so that maybe we don't have a situation like what you just described?
Well, you're asking me if the glass is half empty or half full. And I would like to think that it's half full. I actually have been teaching a course on being a landlord, a proper landlord, not some of the stuff that we see out there, since 2016. And the landlords are becoming much more informed, not because they want to educate themselves so much as they're running into all these things and they don't know where to turn. So they're discovering that they don't have the rights that they thought they have. Tenants think that they don't have the rights that they should have, but I'd be happy to sit down with any tenant or association anytime and say that they've got some of the best tenant protection legislation in the world. So, yes, I think that there is hope, but the government keeps on, if I can be frank, sticking their nose where it don't belong.
We're talking with Chris Seabee, former real estate broker, CEO of Aztec Realty. Chris, before we get to open room to close out our conversation, the landlord-tenant board, we know that there's a big backlog there. How much of an obstacle right now is the landlord-tenant board for just getting things done?
It has been a primary cause of not just upset and, distress for both landlords and tenants, frankly, but it's also caused the ruin of many landlords. It's wiped them out financially. The backlog is anywhere from minimum 6 months to a year to get a resolution. And I know that the LTB is addressing it. The government has put money into it. They brought on a whole slew of adjudicators. In the old days, there was typically 60 adjudicators. They've got over 120, so they've doubled it. The problem is twofold. Number one, adjudicators are not formally trained as lawyers or judges or anything like that. They come from different walks of life, and they have to be trained. And that training can take a year or more. So not only do you have a slew of new adjudicators, but you may also have adjudicators who are making judgments and rulings that might not be the same as those in the higher courts.
Chris, as we close out, and thanks so much for answering all of these questions, there is a website that is called Open Room, openroom.ca, and it says Transparency in the Rental Ecosystem. Can you tell us a little bit about what this website is intending to do?
Well, its intention is to fill in the gap that was supposed to be provided by an organization called CANLII, which is spelled C-A-N-L-I-I. And I think it's the Canadian Legal Institute, something like that. Their job was to take all of the rulings from the hearings of the LTB and to publish them. And there's a requirement under legislation that was confused a lot of people, because what would happen is that the LTB would pass on the judgments to CANLII, and both the LTB and CANLII would say that they're not disclosing the names of the people that were involved, typically tenants. The tenants' names would be hidden. And the Toronto Star in 2018 said, that's fundamentally wrong. The judge said, you're right, it is wrong. And they were ordered, both the LTB and Canley, to provide that information. The phrase that was used by a judge was, publicity is the order of things, open court. So that still hasn't happened to this day. Canley is either not getting the information from the LTB or they're failing to produce that information, one or the other. But in either case, Open Room came along and said, well, if Canley can't do it, we're going to do it. So what they did, I'm just an advisor. I don't have a direct interest in the program. I teach and educate. So Canley came along. Open Room came along and said, we will publish all of those hearings. Just send them to us. And these are only the rulings, the final rulings. This is not about one landlord or one tenant reporting on another tenant or landlord and saying that this person is bad. These are judgments from a judicial body, right, from the Attorney General's tribunals. They're published. There's about 10,000 of them, and they all came from landlords who received judgments. So landlords and tenants can go online free at this time anyway, for the last couple, 2 years, I guess, and look up these rulings to see if if a party has had some past negative history.
Right. And it certainly can help in making decisions on what you want to do, depending which side of that fence that you're on. Chris, thank you so much for all of the information today. You've given us a crash course, a master's class in what is going on. So we appreciate that.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Mike. Truly appreciate it.
I hope we get a chance to talk soon. Have a good weekend.
Same to you. Take care.
That's Chris Seepy. Chris is a former real estate broker, CEO of Aztec Realty. So check out Open Room, because from what I can tell, it's almost a lot like Rate My Professor or Rate My Teacher, where you get, instead of just absolute subjective material, you're getting rulings, and you can look these up and say, okay, this is who I'm looking to deal with. How have they been doing? What do I know about them?